Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I am one quarter of the Four Men host. I am Conley. On board with us as of right now, I got Big Hen. Say what's up, Big Hen. Henry, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Are you okay? Can you hear us? All right.
Baby, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, Annie, I can hear you.
I'm sorry. I had switched to look at something else and I couldn't get back to my phone to take it off of mute. My apologies to everyone. Good evening.
All right, and I'm trying to get Joe on board. I'm trying to get Joe on board here, so if you bear with me for a quick second while I get him on. Yeah, man, it's been quite interesting. You've been getting a lot of rain up there, about in the way where you at up there, Henry?
So early this morning, and when I got home this evening, you know, I just looked out the back window and I waved at Noah and asked him how long it was going to be before he was finished with the ark. So I hope that answers your question. Because, I mean, it's just like it won't stop.
I know. I mean, it's been like this on at least about a week and a half now. At least.
Yeah, I think the count up here north of you is 9.5, 10 days or so.
Right. So how's your week been going, brother?
Well, sir, I will tell you, absolutely wonderful. Today I celebrated my 30-year anniversary with my place of employment, which shall be nameless. But, yeah, 30 years today, baby.
Really?
As the old folks say, I look back and wonder how I got over. Well, you know, that's a funny song because guess what? I really don't wonder how I got over. I know how I got over, and it was only through the grace of God. So on this day, I am so thankful that he's allowed me to contribute and to live a way of life through this employment for more than half of my life. I'm 54 and I've been employed here for 30 years. So that's truly a blessing, man. Feel good with that.
So you reached the magic retirement age.
You should be so lucky.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm getting horrible feedback, bro.
On my end?
Yes, sir.
Don't know what that. I know what. How's that? Is it gone? Is it gone? Can you still hear it?
I can hear you now, but that just before you said that, I didn't hear basically anything you said because of the. It sounds like a horn. I don't know.
I wish I knew.
I don't know if it's feedback or what it is, but yeah, I still hear it every.
I wish I knew what it was going on here in the back.
There it goes again. I don't know if it's your microphone. Something is feeding back on your side.
Because I had the microphone on, but I just unplugged it when I looked over. And said, I don't know what else to look at.
Are you on your computer?
Yeah. I'm talking to
a
PC.
Okay, call in on your phone and listen to yourself. You'll hear it. I mean, just now it was so bad I couldn't even hear what you were saying.
let me see something. Talk to the people for a second, Henry. Let me go and let me mute this real quick and go in the back room. Hold on.
Okay. So, yeah, everybody, and we apologize. We have a little technical difficulty. You know what? Anything man-made can be broken as well. We'll get this together and get back to you all in a little while. I was talking about my week and my week's big event was, again, celebrating 30 years of employment with the same company, which, again, I say shall be nameless, as I don't want to include or involve or enlist the name of the company or associated with our blog or whatever. I don't have their permission to do so, so I won't do that. But just understand, as I was stating to Con Lee, the old song said, "How I got over." I look back and wonder how I got over. And I don't mean got over in the sense of getting over. You know, some people try to get over. I mean how I made it. And I don't wonder. So I check that song out real clear because I'm sure it says some other things. But I know how I made it over, and it was by the grace of God. Even when I wasn't where I was supposed to be doing what I was supposed to be doing, walking in the walk that I was supposed to walk, He still blessed me to make it to this day. And I am truly grateful and blessed to have done so. Not like anybody, it's not like it's never been done before, but I haven't known. It's the first time I've done it. And so it's a great day for me, a great week. Colin, you back with us? Joe, you there? Nope, not yet. So, again, we're just dealing with a little. Eddie, did you join? So I'm going to leave Eddie out. So, again, guys, we experienced a little bit of technical difficulty here. The Four Men, Four Real show will resume in a few minutes. I'm just filling space right now. Like I said, technical difficulties occur sometimes in life. But you know what? We move on. We move forward. We bear with it, fix it, and keep moving on. So I'm dealing with a little technical difficulty on this side. So when the good brothers get back, we'll have them start off by talking about their day and how they doing. Who joined? Somebody joined, I think.
Yeah, this is Joe Jones.
Hey, Joe. Joe, how you doing? Tommy's having a little technical difficulty. I just been filling space here. You on and you sound good right now. Conley, I was talking about, I just celebrated 30 years of employment with my company, which shall be nameless. I don't have the rights to associate them with this show. You know what I mean? So
are you still hearing it now?
No, you sound okay right now, but I'll let you know if I hear it again. Because at first you were coming in clear and I was just barely hearing it every Blue June, and then it just got worse and worse.
Okay.
Joe just joined us. I was telling him about my milestone and me celebrating. And I've already talked to the people about that in Conley. Joe, how's your week been going, man?
Actually, pretty good. Can't complain. Work. Everything's going well.
Anything exciting since the last show?
Well, my daughter is taking lots of pictures over in Japan, and she's enjoying herself. She says that the summer is hot over there. I think what it is that they don't use the air conditioner as much as we do here in the United States, so it's a little bit of an adjustment for her, but she's enjoying herself.
How far is she from that Fukushima site?
Oh, she's like, the distance there would be like going from Washington, D.C. to maybe like New York or Connecticut or maybe, I mean, New York or maybe Massachusetts.
Like 2-3.
Yeah, it's like
2-300 miles.
It's, yeah, at least more, probably more, actually.
Okay.
Well, guys, let's go ahead and get this started. People, we do apologize for the technical difficulties trying to get it sorted out. So, let's get this one started off. I'm gonna try to do two discussions today. First one, I don't know if everybody heard, but starting August 1st, we will be allowed to download instructions off the internet, CAD files, to 3D print guns. I'll remember the guy's name. Just give me a second. I'm going to blank right now. But this guy has been lobbying at least for the last three or four years on being able to upload his CAD files on 3D printed guns. And he even has a company that has produced a home mill that you can purchase for about $1,500. It's called the Ghost Mill, which will basically take aluminum or what they call 80% receivers. Henry, I guess the bottom half of the gun is called the receiver, and that's the part that is stamped by the government that's somewhat tracked or whatever. You can skirt around being able to build your own gun. People put out these things called 80% receivers that don't have all the holes and everything drilled into it. So you buy these receivers, and this guy has made a machine that allows you to perfectly drill those holes out, so on and so forth. But the biggest thing about it is that he also has taken several scans of guns, AR-15s, AK-47s, several type of handguns. I don't think he's taken some of the big things like saws or anything like that. But a lot of machine guns, a lot of handguns. He has put out. He has made several CAD files that he wanted to up. That he's was banned, or he has been lobbying the court to have that put out. And the judgment was this that came out about a week or so ago. That he's allowed to do that. So right off the top of your head, before we go ahead, welcome Eddie. I just saw you join. What's going on, brother? Give me your props.
Good evening. Thank you. How you doing?
All right. So just off the top of that, what's everybody's thoughts on being able to have a gun on demand?
Eddie, Joe.
Here's where I come from. This when I worked for a certain government agency a bunch of years ago when I first came to D.C., we looked into this problem of people being able to proliferate printed weapons. What we looked at as being a problem was the single use or limited use weapon that you could make out of plastic. Because the problem is that you could get it through security checks without being detected. It could be used as an assassin's weapon or something of that nature. At the time, the equipment to be able to build something like that was extremely expensive, so we thought, this is not something that you need to really worry about, except for in serious situations like terrorists or something like that. And it's going to be a one-time type use, So if it's one-time use or limited use, the chances of somebody being extremely successful with this type of weapon was going to be very small. Now that we're getting to the point where anybody could build this weapon, this is going to become a problem. Because you're going to say that somebody could get a limited use weapon through through TSA and ultimately customs if they want to go international with this thing. And this is a problem. I mean, that means you could get a weapon, a fireable weapon on an airplane. You could get a fireable weapon on a, or multiple fireable weapons onto a cruise ship. And it's going to get past any type of it's going to get past a regular security check. So that's a problem. On the other hand, of the being able to print weapons, and you're talking about printing machine guns and different things like that. This ghost thing, it makes me nervous to a degree, but something tells me that it's not going to be as dangerous or as dangerous as we think it is, because you're going to have the other pieces to make the gun work. So if you don't have the barrel, if you don't have the trigger housing group, you know, you can have a lower receiver group, but if you don't have all the different parts to the upper receiver group and the trigger housing group, it's not going to really be too effective. Can you ghost the weapon? Yes, because to a degree, because the thing is that each part of that weapon, when it comes as an assembled group, is marked. It is. It's serialized and it's kept somewhere in the system. Can you break that weapon down and change out the different serial numbers? Yes, but somewhere in that weapon, there's going to be something that can be identified to it. So, you know, most of this that's going on in these people that feel like the government's coming after them and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm just going to tell you from the aspect of somebody that's been in the military before, your pea shooter, your M16, your AK-47, your, even if you had a SAW, is not going to stop the government if they really, really want to come and get you. If you want to protect yourself from the government, make sure that you're an informed citizen and vote. That's probably the best thing you can do to protect yourself from a government that's out of control. But, yeah, I think this is silly. Most people aren't going to be able to afford the types of equipment that is necessary to build it. But I would say what needs to happen is if somebody is building these things and selling them, they need to get a license. In fact, I'm pretty sure they got to get a license. To manufacture a weapon in the United States, you need to have a license if you're going to sell it. So go ahead and manufacture it if you want. If somebody finds out you're selling it, you're going to go to federal prison for a long time, and there's no time off in federal prison. That's my opinion.
So Henry? May I ask a question on that? So Joe, you seem to be well-informed or well-versed on this. I will tell you I am not. That's why my comment is more so in a form of a question. So you say, well, you know, if you're selling weapons and blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to really get into this, but I will. My question is simply, so at what point is it selling a weapon? You're selling pieces.
If there is selling a weapon or selling pieces of weapons get into the weapon business. So put it like this. If you sell pieces of weapons that are supposed to be used or can possibly be used in the implementation of a firearm in the United States, you have to be a licensed seller of this thing, federally licensed. Now, you can trade weapons, i.e., I have an AK-47. I'd like to get a M16 or MK-17. So if you go to your buddy and he says, yeah, I'd like to trade, then you could say, thank you. He goes, gives it to you, thank you. and then y'all walk away. Depending on the state, depending on what state you go to, depends on whether you have to go into more paperwork. But from a federal position, you can trade a weapon. Or you can do this. I have a shotgun, or I have a 45 from World War II, and I want to give that 45 or that shotgun to my son. I'm getting older, and you know, or my daughter, for instance. I can legally do that in the United States without having to go register it with the federal government. Now, depending on what state you're in, you might have to go and register that transfer of the weapon. As for a sale, certain states do not allow straw sales, meaning I buy 15 weapons and start to sell them to other people. Usually, most of the states require you to have I can sell one weapon because I bought one weapon. You can't buy like 24 weapons and then sell them, because then you're seen as like a gun, firearms, or what is it, an arms dealer, and you don't want to be an arms dealer.
The gun broker.
Right. Yeah. So there are laws. The laws federally are pretty open for the most. It's more of a I know you, you know me, we sell. Or I know you, you know me, I give you. Or we trade. But it's not,
so,
the laws are not designed to be, to give, make you an arms manufacturer, basically.
Understood. Uh-huh. But my question is along the lines of what already happens now, like with the private gun shows. I shouldn't say private, uh-huh. but you know what I mean. The public auctions,
the gun shows.
You know,
right.
The gun shows that you go to now. So these same pieces uh-huh. could be made and sold at those gun shows under probably some loopholes that we have now that you know, prevent people from getting into problems with.
I'm
going to
tell you
that
there's other things out there. There's certain laws that say if you're going to sell more than these within a year, you can't. You're going to need a license to do it. You can't just go to a gun show.
And I think just to chime in on that question, I think to be as to be a gun broker and have your federal firearms licenses and all that, and to be able to sell parts of a firearm with these 3D, since these parts are, I get, and I'm making a big assumption here, when these gun manufacturers, Remington and Taurus and Sig and Glock and all that, there's certain parts of the gun that have to be stamped, and they have to be registered with the with the government. I'm making an assumption here, because uh-huh. the biggest thing came out when they were talking about the AR-15, how people get the kits, and the only part of the gun that is actually stamped is the lower receiver, because I guess that uh-huh. basically houses everything that makes the gun work. There's certain parts of the gun that has to be stamped and registered with the government as identification of the weapon. So if you're making 3D printed parts, unless there's something in this law that I have not read, I haven't read the new ruling or anything like that, so I'm not versed on there. You can't, as a dealer, I don't think as a dealer you can sell parts or sell firearms that don't meet the requirement that these particular firearms or these particular parts that you're selling, especially parts that have to be registered, and of course a fully completed gun has to be pretty much registered with the government saying that this gun exists in the world. I don't think that a gun person at a show or anything would be able to sell 3D printed parts. Now, I may be wrong if there's something in this law. Right now, the ruling is allowing what is the name of this company? It's out of Texas. Defense Distributed is allowed to release their CAD files on the numerous guns that they have done scans of,
all the internals, all the externals, the whole completed gun, release their CAD file that me or you, who has a 3D printer or their proprietary machine, can sit there, download this file for free, and if we have the material, print this gun out. Just point and click,
okay,
and let it run for go.
Hey, Conley, just a minor reminder to everybody, if you're not speaking, make sure you mute your phone if you're moving around and different things so we get a lot of feedback. So here's the problem with what you were saying. I'm not a problem with what you're saying, Conley, but here's the problem that I say. You talk about you got to have the lower receiver stamped and all this other stuff. I'm telling you right now, you can go out, you can buy parts, and Joe hit this on the head about cost. Because I can go buy AR-15 for $500, maybe a cheap one, and I'm going to go through the file the right paperwork and all this other stuff, and I can buy one upwards of $2,500 or whatever. If I go to build my own, I can build my own, and the government will have no record of it. And guess what? But it may cost me $8,000 or $15,000 piece by piece to do it. So it's very, very expensive to do it that way. But you absolutely can buy parts and build your own AR-15. And there is no real record to know by the government that you had it. So that's a loophole there. I know that exists now. So I wonder if this is going to exist with this product. And again, I'm not well versed on it, so I'm just saying.
Eddie, you want to jump in?
The only thing that's been shared that only piques a concern to me is just the fact that they're not metal and they could possibly bring it on a plane or something like that. Outside of that, everything that's been said so far, I personally feel like it's easy for people to get a gun, so I don't think that's any different.
And you're right. All you guys who just announced it, that's one of the things. This guy, I can't think of his name. I will make sure that I try to have it. If you go and listen to some of his interviews that he's done, and people have brought up this issue about that, basically about this accountability and being able to slip through detectors and all this kind of stuff, he actually says that, yes, that could be a problem, but he is this guy and his whole entire group is one of those people that believes, hey, that's not for me to decide. That's not for me to care about. This is my constitutional right to be able to have arms, to purchase arms. And now that I have taken the step of being able to provide a way for everybody to particularly have a firearm, on demand, it's my right for people to have that. And, it's mind-blowing sometimes that when you see these gun activists completely disregard this safety factor and the Pandora's box that you're opening with this. I mean, with technology, with the advancement of technology, yes, it empowers humans to do more. It gives us the ability to do more. It enhances our lives. But damn it, it also, you can step into a realm that open up a Pandora's box that you can never close again. And think about it back in the 40s and 50s, right during World War II, when we opened up the box of nuclear energy. And yes, nuclear energy is great, and look what it does for our society: clean engine. Clean energy, power on demand, but look at the destructive capabilities that come, that when you weaponize it, that has come from it. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and then on top of that, the untold magnitude, megatons of weapons that have been developed. I mean, sometimes there's things that just should not be crossed. And this, I don't know why this ruling was exactly passed, but the mindset to allow this, at least without having some well thought of safeguards put in it, this is going to be bad. And with Henry, when Henry was just saying about the cost, I haven't done any research on it. I don't think Joe has done any research on it. But the CAD files that are being released, from my understanding, any regular extruding 3D printer, if you know, if you follow how a 3D printer is, it uses spools of plastic, and it heats the plastic up, and it layers by layers prints out the parts. And you may have to go and sand things down or whatever, but it just prints out the parts and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's not that expensive. A spool of plastic is maybe it'll run you about $30. The actual machine may run you, it has come down over the years, may run you maybe $500-$600. That machine that this company proprietized is $1,500 just to mill aluminum or metal, which guns use. So it may run expensive if you're just purchasing it just to do this right now, but there's several people out, 3D printing has been out here long enough that a lot of people have 3D printers. You know what I'm saying? And the price has come down on that stuff. The other issue is what kind of safety is involved? We're talking plastic and you're talking explosives. The longevity is not there. You fire off a round in there, that's an explosion going off with plastic. The longevity is not there. It's just a bad idea. I think it's a really bad idea. Anybody want to chime in?
Quick question.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead. I was going to say that the cost of a metal 3D printer is crazy high, even today. For a plastic printer that would be good enough to make something like this and large enough to make it, you're talking probably about $2,000 to $5,000 between there, depending on how good the printer is and what kind of plastic you're utilizing, because certain printers can utilize certain types of plastic. Other ones can use other types of plastic. Some of those plastics are not good for, like, firearms because of heat and all that other kind of stuff. I think like this. We're all getting up in arms right now because they passed some legislation to do this, but I'm going to tell you what's next to probably get ready to happen. The gun lobby is going to come back and eat itself on this thing because – you know, NRA and all these other guys, they like to do all this and make it easy for you to pass CAD files back and forth and blah, 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 blah. The minute that this looks like it's going to cut into some profits from Beretta, Smith & Wesson, AR, any of those companies out there, they're going to come and stop this real quick. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to have the money to do it. They've already got the connections to do it. So I'm not too worried about this going too far. The ones that I'm really worried about is the plastic gun, and that's because it's just a security concern. Getting big into the machine gun craziness, I mean, there's a possibility of that possibly happening, but I have a feeling that, okay, you start downloading these things, ATF is going to get on their cyber side and start tracking people doing this type of stuff that have credible ways of making it happen. And then And like I said, Smith and Wesson and the rest of those cats, those bubbles out there, the minute that they realize that you're going to cut into their profit margin by being able to transfer, by making guns that can compete against them, or worse, taking their designs. Because the minute that you bring a design out there, because you're talking about CAD files and everything, but let's really think about where these designs are coming from. Somebody made that design at some place, and that company is going to say, hey, look, you just made a file that we've created. There's some type of intellectual property here. When that happens, you're talking about there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. The minute that you go out there and start selling, trying to sell a weapon, you're going to see people start suing. Because, I mean, hey, American manufacturers that made M16, they're going to be like, no, you ain't going to bust into my profit margin.
So, go ahead. Joe, I agree 1,000%. And I think the other part that you didn't hit on, and you did kind of hit on it, is here's the thing. NRA is going to lobby for it and blah, blah, blah. We know NRA has a lot of pull and lobbyists in the government. But guess what? When the government, just as well as the Beretta, Six Hour, whoever, Glock, getting in on it, guess what? When the government sees that they can't tax it, guess what? There's going to be a hammer put down on it. Eddie said it very well, and here's my next question is, the big concern for me on this whole thing would be is selling this technology to a terrorist nation or faction or whatever you want to call them, whatever. That would be my problem because then you talk about getting on planes and different things like that. But my big question is, so we made certain pieces. We talking about plastic and stuff, and has they made so we can model anything. Has he made a actual weapon that has fired?
Yes. Yes. I've been following this guy for years. He has made several weapons. He's made machine guns. He has made handguns. He
with
has made
plastic?
Full AR-15s. No.
With
well,
plastic?
Yes and no. Yes and no. He started off building in plastic, and then as he started developing his CNC mill machine that he sells, that I just sent you a guy's the
I
second
saw it.
Innovation. As he started selling, as he started developing that, he started milling his own lowers and you know and other pieces or whatever, and has made full functioning weapons. Yes, he has built them from plastic, and he has made them out of aluminum, all from his hands and from
and
yes.
And
they work 100%. They work 100%.
So then
he's not selling these CAD files. They are going to be made on the internet free. So whoever takes this information and decides to print them on their machine, that's up to them. He's not selling them. He's giving away this information.
Right. So people give away information on the internet now how to make dirty bombs and how to do all these other different things. So, again, at what cost does it take to do these things? And even with the dirty bombs and all these other stuff, still there's a great risk if you get caught with these materials in your house and different. So I'm kind of with Joe on this thing. I think it's much to do about nothing other than my only concern would be, again, if these files or these machines or whatever fall into the wrong hands, and we start seeing security risk, as far as just when we talk about constitutional rights and so forth, trust me, this wasn't covered under any constitution that was written because we didn't have any printers that could print a gun at that time. They wasn't even thought of. They wasn't even heard of. So it's not protected under that.
that would fall through real quick. But like I said, again, my real concern, if we want to talk about this, if we're talking about it, is again, it falling into the wrong hands and being able to pass through the radar of our security, TSA, and different things like that. Other than that, I don't think the average Joe is going to be, and Joe, I don't mean no harm using your name, that's just a term. I don't think the average Joe is going to be going out here making his own weapon and something that's really of any use. I think it would be
sparse. My only fire back at that one is, if you remember back in, say, 1999, remember when CD burners first came out? And at one point, you know what I'm saying, one, not everybody had them. They were very expensive. People didn't have the know-how right at the moment to take a blank CD, put a blank CD in, and make a music CD. And then over a period of time, this information got mainstream that now you have, you know what I'm saying, 5-year-old kids who can go in and burn a CD, you know what I'm saying, and have a copied CD. So I personally think it's just a matter of time once this information gets out here, the cost of the technology gets down a large cheap. Of course, you have to be a person who actually is going out looking for that. And even with the availability of guns in the retail market as we have right now, it's really, you know what I'm saying, a certain sect of society that goes out and gets a gun. I agree with you on that one. But I just think I have an issue with over time, you know what I'm saying, this information, 3D printing becomes a lot more mainstream, especially even take the gun aspect out of it. A lot of these retail companies, your Amazons and Walmarts and all that stuff, they want you, the consumer, to purchase a product online and have it printed out at your home immediately after you purchase it, and they're, you know saying, trying to develop 3D printing technology. So with all this coming down the pipeline, it's eventually going to catch on that it's going to be real easy. And then there's no fail-safe. Forget the terrorists. What about the people who was not supposed to have a gun in the first place? Your felons. There's no way to track this stuff.
So, Carly, can I respond?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. I just didn't want to step on you. So my response to that is I have never seen a bigger case of apples against oranges. CDs can't kill anybody. On top of that, who has a CD burner still? Nobody.
Me.
You know why? Because, first of all, most of us don't listen to CDs anymore. You know why? Because a lot of LimeWire and all these other websites where you can go burn music and stuff.
Oh, my God, LimeWire. He still remembers LimeWire.
So you're still talking about CD burners. So that was in that age. So, again, apples and oranges, dude. We're talking about – and even with that technology, things came out to prevent you from burning copyrighted music and different things. But I'm sorry, I just am unable to process comparing that to this. It just doesn't. They don't. I hear what you're saying, but again, I gotta stand with Joe on this one. I think legislation and different things will come along. I know we've passed this bill that he can do the files or whatever. And again, I'm not well versed on this, so I can't speak past that point. But again, my thing is right now at this, because I do think this is infantile at this point, this early stages, when I say that, I have no big concerns other than, like I said, TSA getting stuff on planes or something like that. But other than that, And usually, hopefully, that's not homegrown terror, but terrorist is terrorist. I didn't necessarily say any particular place. I just said terrorist. So it could be homegrown or whatever. But, yeah, it's a mute issue for me right now. Because a lot of the stuff that they're doing, like I said, you can build an AR-15. It costs you a whole lot of money, but the government will never know you built it and never know you have it in your house. Now, can you get that on the plane? No. Still can't do that. So, that again, that would be my only complaint.
Okay. Anybody else before I throw in a question to mix this up? All right. So, let me throw this in here to mix it up. Now, Henry can't agree that he thinks that this may not become mainstream, or this won't be something that would catch or be something mainstream like how CDs did. It seems like the bigger issue in the conversation is the actual constitutional governance of where this whole thing comes from. Would you say that lags behind how fast technology has taken hold and what the Constitution governs is being outpaced by how fast technology is expanding? Hello?
You mean how fast the technology is expanding the government can't keep up with it? I mean.
Yeah, and I apologize, Joe.
Yeah, that's the
I think Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, hold on. Hang on 1 second. I think Eddie had dropped in when he logged back in and muted and he tried to chime in. Go ahead, Eddie. You had something to say?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got. Yeah. I didn't know that you
okay.
had dropped, so when you came back in, it had muted you.
I apologize. No, that's my fault. I had a drop call. I was in transition on the way. No, I was just saying your premise or your concern that you were bringing up earlier was how these devices, you can't trace them, and people that aren't supposed to have guns can get them. I'm like, again, that falls right back to the same issues we have with regular guns. Like, even those who are tracing are traceable, the criminals are still getting like that. Not an argument that makes me more concerned at the fact that there are possibly plastic weapons that can get through a metal detector. So that's the only thing that's worth even being concerned about. Otherwise, every single thing that you could bring up about these weapons are what we deal with a regular weapon.
Anything
that you can put is going. I'm gonna say the same thing with a gun. Right now, we're dealing with that issue.
Yeah, you're 100% right, and I'm not gonna disagree with you. I mean, even with how guns are obtained now, natural retail in black market, 100%. But now, a person doesn't have to go and meet Pookie on the street. Yo, dog. Yo, I got that Glock. Give me $500, yo, for it, you know what I'm saying, and run the risk of getting caught. All they got to do now is just sit back, push a button, and presto chango, get a gas.
Well,
you know
at the same
saying?
Time, didn't you just say, well, the reason why they go to Pookie is because they can't afford it the regular way, which goes right back to
the initial premise that they go to Pookie.
Legal issues or convenience. As well as the cost. You think they're going to get it at a better rate of doing it online? Not to mention that in itself is detectable. So if I see that you're purchasing something online, as he stated, the cybersecurity and things of that nature, they'll be able to find a purchase. If you're flaunting that you sell guns, now you are a target for the person that are buying from you. So that actually is traceable if you want to use that as your source of how it's going to be distributed. Even if it's a lesser way of getting it. So those are the ways that you'll be able to detect that. Whereas Pookie, actually, it's actually a more discreet way of getting your gun. So that that actually would be a plus for the actual the plastic guns being sold, because there actually is a location that you have to go, a hub, for you to purchase your actual weapon.
In my opinion, I'm going to tell you what this is going to do. This route of what they're doing right now is actually going to bring you gun control. Because right now, like he's saying, you know, going the Pookie route, you're going to buy Smith & Wesson. You're going to buy Sig Sauer. And we could say all that we want. At the end of the day, controlling this gun lobby and all this other kind of stuff, it's not the regular citizen that wants to have a gun in his house, or he wants to keep the government from tracking him. The people that are doing this are the gun manufacturers, because they know that either way, if you sell it on the street, you sell it inside of a building, they're getting the money at some point of the sale. So at some point, they are the ones that are wanting to proliferate the sale of guns because it makes them money. Now, long term, if you're able to print these things and make a weapon online and they are not involved in the sale at all, I guarantee you the gun manufacturers are all of a sudden going to get extremely cautious about guns being out in society and that they should only be purchased in the proper way. So the minute that happens and they start seeing sales diminish, you'll see gun control come back with a fail swoop. So I'm not too worried about this, except for, like I said, the one-offs that would be trying to get it through TSA, something like that. And the minute that you're able to print a real rifle, a real working rifle that can use for long term, and it starts beating out the M16, we don't have to wait too long for this thing to actually take a hold. It's not going to even be too much of a wait. So, my opinion. So again,
this would. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. This would be the equivalent to me of the videos you see with the drones, with the weapons attached.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen these?
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. Same thing. Somebody gets this, they fly it over the White House, do whatever, blah 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 blah. They can fly it in your neighborhood, shoot you in your window. Okay, but
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You okay? That's all.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, yeah, I was going to say, and also, just like Henry was saying earlier, this will be the easiest thing to beat, you know, law-wise, because, I mean, when you really think about it, it's like, if you really want to beat this, you have a right to bear arms. You don't have a right to manufacture. So, I mean, this will be the easiest thing to beat, you know, if you want to take it to court. And like I said, the gun manufacturers will be 100% behind you, stopping this from happening. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a long-term problem. I don't think so.
Well, like, kind of what I was saying, was getting into before I got that message from Eddie. One instance is, I think that personally, is the pace of technology is outpacing what our Constitution is basically drafted. It was created for in the laws that allow that basically, you know, what gives us our rights and stuff as citizens of the United States. I think it's getting outpaced by the increase in technology, and that is a concern. That's a concern with the internet in a whole. That's a concern, but I think that's a big concern, especially with gun control. But the issue that I take with this one particular issue with being able to do this, somebody's got their thing. The biggest issue that I see with this is, you're allowing if they have opened up the door for this technology to take root
to advance, to grow, to streamline, to economize, you know what I'm saying? And it can grow to be something positive. It can definitely grow to be something negative. Either way, once this is allowed on August 1st, this readily available information out there, without it being, I don't think that this is being thought through to put it out for the masses. I think that they're opening up a box that a host of problems, new problems to a gun issue that we're having right now, it's adding too many more problems and stuff to a situation that we don't even have the things worked out right now currently with the way how guns are distributed and governed in the United States right now. And I hear what Henry has to say. You know, he may think that the technology may not be something that may catch on. And Joe, you know, I hear what you're saying, that you think that, you know, the manufacturers, since they're not getting their money out of it, they may step up and say something. I'm talking about the pure instance of the technology being there and people tinkering and advancing and making better and making easier and all this other stuff. It just makes it way too easy for somebody to get one. Hell, you can get a little 10-year-old, 5-year-old computer whiz whose mommy and daddy, you know, has bought every technology thing for their kid, 3D printers, milling machines, whatever the case may be, and things have come down. And these people, you know, they just, hey, I want to try it. I want to have my own little AR-15 and just print it out, and here we go. So that's my thoughts on it. Fellas, down to the last 2 minutes, so closing remarks.
Hey, we were supposed to discuss something else. What else were we supposed to talk about?
Was going to do rape culture, but
we ran
out of time.
We ain't got time.
And that would have been a very long one.
I just say this with this gun situation. I think a large portion of our gun situation in the United States is really based upon on money. And so I think the minute that we get to this point where the money starts getting involved in it, you'll see a little bit more gun control come out. So that's all.
Eddie, Henry?
Nothing has changed for me. My only concern is plastic weapons, security breach. Everything else is pretty much the same to me. I don't see any difference.
Yeah, I don't.
Henry?
I don't see it as a big issue either. Again, other than the plastic, I just, like I said, there's technology out there for a lot of different things. Somebody got to go on mute.
Somebody is scratching on the microphone.
There we go.
Okay, so, so again, I think the best thing said here all night was, when Joe said his first comments, and he said, you really want to fix this, or you don't want to try to curtail this, get out and vote. We just had recent elections, local elections in Virginia and in Maryland. Hope everybody voted. I did. You got elections coming up in November. Get out and vote, people. Don't let all this stuff about Putin and the Russians controlling the vote and all this stuff scare. That's a tactic to scare you into it doesn't make a difference if you don't vote. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. This president has had the luxury of being able to name several Supreme Court people. That's all.
Right. Well, at the very least, ladies and gentlemen, you've got some new information. Henry, Joe, Henry and Joe are 100% right. You need to get out and vote. You need to get out and vote, because these same people who's allowing this stuff to go through is the ones who are saying, yes, this is okay, and no, this is not okay. Well, that's going to bring us to a close at another for another show, the 4 Men 4 Real Show. I'm one quarter of the host. I'm Conley. Got Henry, Eddie, and Joe. Thank you for listening to us this evening. We'll see you guys again in 2 weeks. And y'all be safe and peace.